Today's daf is Lamed Aleph. We're going to start at the fifth line on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, we have a bit of an intro today. A lot of this daf has to do with all sorts of, I guess, number one, potential beliefs they had about how things worked, how babies were created, how they were in utero, all sorts of interesting things that we know nowadays are a little bit different than the way they described them. And some, it could be they don't really mean this as actual truth, but they're trying to get messages across, which we'll talk about as we learn them. So deep breath before starting today's daf. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha chodeshim arishonim vladar b'mador ha-tachton. Emtzaim vladar b'mador ha-emtzai. Achronim vladar b'mador ha-elyon. Okay, there's an assumption here that the fetus, the first 3 months, is at the very bottom of the womb, then it moves slightly up in the middle, and then it moves to the top at the end of the pregnancy. V'kevan shigiaz mano latzet, mitapech v'yotze. Okay, remember we saw that the face yesterday, the head was down in between the legs. So the assumption is the head was up. And when it's time for the baby to come out, so it turns upside down and then goes out. V'zeu chevle isha. And that's what's the pain of labor, is the baby turning around in utero, right? We know this is not necessarily the case, because we always call that baby's breached if it's the wrong direction and then it has to turn around. But it certainly doesn't happen normally at the end of the pregnancy, where all of a sudden it turns around. So, that's the first thing. V'hainu ditnan, and this is why it says, okay, so now, again, what happened? The head was at the top. When it comes down, it sounds like during labor pains, it flips the other way and goes head down. And this explains what it says in the following source, Chevle sheli nikeva merubin mishel zachar. The pain of the female labor with a girl is much more painful than with a boy. Va'amar, okay, now why is that? So there's an assumption here, is that the we're going to get to this, but that the face, that the female has to not only turn the head down, but also turn the head around. And the male comes out with the head exactly facing the direction it was facing. It still has to flip upside down, but doesn't have to flip around the other way. Okay, we're going to get to that, where there was an assumption that the baby came out with the head in one direction one way and the head facing the other way, depending on whether it was male or female. And that's why for the female, it has to flip kind of twice, right? One to get the head down, and then one to get the face flip the other direction. And that's why they claim that it's more painful, the labor pains of a birth of a female. But Amar Rabbi Elazar, Maikra, what's the pasuk for this? Asher asiti baset, useti baseter, and I was created in secret. This is from Tehilim Kuf Lametet. Rukamti betachtiot aretz. Okay, so notice it says rukamti. What does that mean? Like the rikma, I was embroidered. We talked about that. That's when they say the vlad is mirukam in the beginning, in the first, at the end of the 41st day, right? That's when it's already mirukam. So we'll notice what it says, b'tachtiot aretz, that means in the very bottom. This is a proof for how you know that the fetus starts out in the bottom, because it was rukam in the bottom part. So darti lo ne'amar, notice it doesn't say, I was dwelling there, ela rukamti. So that means that's where it was started to be created. Ma'ishna chevle nekeva merubim mishal zachar, ze ba kederech tashmisho, v'ze ba kederech tashmisho. Okay, that means each goes according to the way that that they have sexual relations. In other words, the male fetus is in the same direction as the male who's having sex with his wife, and the female in the same direction. What does this mean? Because in general, in halacha, it was understood that the man is on the top and the female is on the bottom during intercourse. So they're saying each is in that way. Ze hofech et panav, ze ein hofech panav. So the male child comes out head facing down, and the female head facing up, the same way that they are when they're having intercourse. I think, again, what are they trying to do here in my eyes? They're trying to connect between the creation of the baby and the birth of the baby, so that male is this way when it's right when it creates, and therefore the male comes out in that way, and likewise female. It's a bit of a strange connection. I read some sources that were saying that you know, maybe they assume, right? They assume that they took this as truth, that this is really the way things were. And looking nowadays, and not just nowadays, but in earlier periods also, this didn't seem to be true. So they say either things changed, and it used to be that that's how babies were born, and really this is truth. Or maybe you don't view this as they actually meant truth. They were trying to create some sort of image. Again, it's not so 100% clear to me what their goal was, but like I said, somehow connecting the creation of the child with the birth of the child. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Chodeshim Arishonim Tashmish Kasheh LeIsha VeGam Kasheh LeVlad. So having sex during the first 3 months, the first trimester, is not only, it's painful for the woman and also painful for the fetus. Emtzayim Kasheh LeIsha VeYafeh LeVlad. Again, I'm not sure where they're going with this or where they get this from. Again, I don't think it matches science. Modern science doesn't seem to claim this is the case, but the middle trimester is difficult for the woman, but good for the Vlad. Does not remember if you assume this is also based on the fact, and you assume the Vlad is in the very bottom, so then you could think that maybe having sex would affect it. Once it moves higher up, it doesn't bother the Vlad anymore, but still would be painful for the woman because the Vlad is still in the middle there, and therefore it could be painful for the woman. But achronim, at the end, yafeh leisha veyafeh levlad. Shemitoch kach nimtza havlad meluban umezuraz. The assumption is that the semen that goes in somehow cleans the child and makes the child stronger. Tana, hameshamesh mitato liyom tishim. Okay, this is a really odd one. If you didn't think other things were odd until this point, but one who has sex with his wife on the 90th day from the day she got pregnant, ki ilu shofech damim. Okay, meaning it's very dangerous on that day and could theoretically kill the fetus. Okay, let's now we'll see what. Particularly, I find this strange because of the continuation. So they say minayada. So how's he supposed to know? Because you can't always know exactly, right? Is there a vlog? What time? When the vlog was created? Exactly what day and exactly where the 90th day comes out? El Amar Abaye. This is the part that I find strange. If they say it's ki'ilu shofech damim, and it sounds like you could kill the fetus by doing this. Al Amar Abaye mishamesh veholech v'shomer p'taim, because shomer p'taim Hashem. Okay, God saves the foolish people, and therefore, don't worry if you can't figure out exactly when the 90th day is. Go ahead, have intercourse, and hope for the best. Seems really difficult to swallow if they really believe that. Again, we know that this doesn't really, right? It's hard to imagine a modern medicine. I've never heard anybody say that having sex could kill the fetus. But if the rabbi said it, and then maybe they also didn't really believe it, and maybe that's why they said go for it and hope for the best, because maybe Abaye didn't think that it was actually the case. Again, then you have to wonder, why did they say this? If, right, again, maybe they were trying to come up with, when they had a lot of infant immortality, maybe they wanted to come up with reasons for it, which, you know, goes way back when we talked about Al-Shloshat, which was also a common occurrence, that women would die also in childbirth, that they tried to come up with reasons to explain. So they tried to come up with halachic reasons. This isn't exactly a halachic reason, but anyway, not exactly sure how to handle these sources. Tanu Rabbanan. Shlosha shutafin yesh ba'adam. Okay, there's famous, right? There's three partners that make up help with the birth of a child. Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'avi v'imo. So how does that partnership work? Aviv Mazria Haloven. Okay, so again, this is their belief of how this worked. The father gives the white part, Shemimenu Atzamot Vigidim Vitsipornaim Umoach Sheberosho, Veloven Shebaayin. Okay, the white parts. What's that? The bones, the sinews, the nails, the brain, and the white of the eye. Imo Mazrat Odem. Okay, so the mother gives the red. Now, this makes sense because what's it relating to? Again, what comes from the father? The semen, that's white. What comes from the mother? Again, it's not really, but the connection between the dam of Nida to childbirth, and therefore they say the red. What's the red, right? This is just more like the darker stuff. Shemimenu or ubasa, the skin, the flesh, usaro, the hair, v'shachor sheba'ayin, and the black of the eye. Bakadosh Baruch Hu notem bo ruach u'nishama. Okay, the life, the soul, the klaster panim, the shine, the brilliance of the face, or the shine of the face. V'riyat ha'ayin, sight, u'shmiyat ha'ozen, hearing, v'dibor peh, speaking, v'hiluch raglayin, movement of feet, ubina v'haskel, and intelligence, and right, understanding and intelligence. V'kevan shigiyaz mano lipater min ha'olam, and when it's time for a man to die, or a woman to die, HaKadosh Baruch Hu notel chalko v'chelek aviv v'imo meniach lifnehem. Right, God takes out his part, the life part, and leaves the part that the mother and the father gave. It's a very interesting image, right? God kind of, right, Hashem natam v'Hashem lakach. So God gave him all that part, took just the part that God did. The part that the mother and father gave are still there. Amara, Papa Hainu d'Amra Inche, putz milcha v'shadeh bisra l'kalba. If you take meat, now the salt in those days was what kept the meat fresh, right, without refrigerators. So they say, take the salt out of the meat, and then the only thing left to do is to send it to the dogs, because you might have this nice piece of meat, but it's going to be spoiled right away. No one's going to eat it. So same thing with the human. When God takes out the neshama, it basically takes everything out from the body. You're left with just a body that rots. Darash Rav Chinina Bar Papa. Mai dechtiv oseg dolot ad ein cheker, v'niflaot ad ein mispar. What does the pasuk mean, that God does greatness without bounds, right? And his niflaot are better than, you know, we're basically comparing God to humans. Bo re'e shelo kemidat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'dam, right? God is not like humans. How so? Midat basar v'dam noten chefetz bechemet tzrura upia lamala. If you put something in a bag to protect it, right? A chemet is these flasks that were made of oil skins, of leather. So you put it in, and the opening is at the top. Safek mishtamer, safek e mishtamer. It still might spill. Ve'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzar ha'ubar b'me'eimo p'tucha u'pia lemata u'mishtamer. The fetus, right, interesting image, is face, right, the opening is open. It's at the bottom of the body, right, and it's lower in the woman's body. It's upside down, basically, right? Normally, again, you put it in a flask or in a bag, and it's open. This thing is at the top. Here, the opening is at the bottom, and yet it's still protected inside the body. It doesn't fall out. Davar acher, atam noten chavtzav lekaf moznayim, kozman shemachpid yored lemata. Right, as it gets heavier, what happens on the scale? Right, it's gonna lean to that side. Ve'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu kozman shemachpid havlad ole lemala. What do we say? The vlad keeps going higher in the woman's body. Darash Rabbi Yossi Aglili, ma dichtiv ode. One second, the pasuk. Is this a correction here? Odcha al kino ra'ot nifleti, nifleim ma'asecha v'nafshi no yodat me'ot. Okay, this is a pasuk from Tehilim, Kuflametet again. Bo re'e shalok midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar adam. Midat basar adam atam noten zir onim ba'aruga kol achat ve'echad ole b'mino. If you put different seeds in a basket, right, to plant them, what's going to happen? Each one grows its own separate thing. Even though you put a bunch of seeds together, each one is going to bring up its own flower, its own whatever is growing from it. Right, you have the seed from the man, right? It goes into the woman. You have two different parts going in, and what happens? It comes out as one type. Okay, different from seeds. So that was what they said. Odcha, thank God on the Noraot, that everything he does is so amazing. This is what's amazing about it. Tavar acher, a different analogy. Tseva noten tzaba, noten samanim liyore. Let's say the dyer puts, he's dyeing the colors. What does he do? He puts a bunch of different colors together in a pot. What happens? They all come out one color. Kulan olin l'tseva achan. V'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God helps the ubar get into the mother's womb. Kol echad ve'echad ole lemino, and it ends up with all different parts of it, right? You end up this one thing that comes out as you have different organs in the body and different parts of the body. So there you have it. It's the opposite image of what we just said a minute ago about the seeds coming together and creating one thing. Here we have different parts growing out of it. It's not all one big mush like the colors. Darash Rav Yosef, my dechtiv. Okay, now we're getting a little off topic. We had the pasuk, the one just before, that said Odcha al kino ra'ot nifleti, and now we're gonna have another pasuk that starts off Odcha. So they're gonna darshan this. Darash Rav Yosef, my dechtiv. What do we learn from this pasuk? Odcha Hashem ki anaf tabi Yashuv abcha tenachameni. I'll thank you, God, because you got angry with me, but then you removed your anger and you were good to me. Bamea katub medaber. Here's an example. B'shnei b'nei adam shiatzu l'schora. Okay, two people were going out for business. Yashav lo kotz l'echad mehen. One of them sat on a thorn, got a thorn stuck in him, and he couldn't go on the business trip. Okay, he started cursing and getting really angry because he was supposed to go on this trip, and he couldn't go because he sat on a thorn. Obviously, they mean something more serious than just getting pricked by a thorn, but whatever it was, he couldn't go on the trip. Liamim, over time, after a little time went by, what happened? Shama shetav asvinato shel chavero bayam, right? This is a classic story we always hear about. You know, I almost got on that bus and then the bus blew up or something like that happened. So this guy, you know, that's exactly what happened to him. He finds out that the ship, right? He was so upset in the beginning, but then he found out that the ship sunk. Hitchil modeh u'mishabeach, right? And he started to thank God. Lechach ne'emar yashuv apcha u'tenachameni. That's what it means, that God removed his anger and then, you know, helped me. V'haynu de'amar Rabbi Elazar, ma'i dechtiv ose niflaot levado, u'baruch shem kvodo la'olam, afilu bal hanes eno makir b'niso. Okay, what's this, that ose niflaot levado, God does niflaot on his own? That means he does them and nobody even notices them. Even the Baal HaNes doesn't notice, right? This is about us, kind of wake up and realize all these miracles that are happening around you. You don't always notice them, but God does his niflaot levado, and sometimes they're not even noticed, even by the people who receive them. Darish Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Mai dechtiv orchi v'riv'i zarita, v'chol drachai hiskanta. Okay, this means orchi, right, my ways, and my, right, we're going to see how they darsh in Rivi'i, Zerita, you planted my seeds, or you, Zerita is to, actually, what's the context here? Probably to spread. Zerita, sorry, is from the Lashon of Zoreh, when you winnow, okay? You winnowed. Bechod rachai iskanta, you're very well aware of all of my ways. Now, Rivi'i is usually the Shoresh that's used, rivi'ah, like to have sexual relations. So it's saying basically, and orchi is also used when it comes in, when it also in the same context. So what do they say here? Melamed shalono tzaradam min kol tipa, kola tipa, ela min habaror sheba. In other words, God is watching every tashmish and he's making sure that the seed that is planted to create the child is from the clearest part of the semen. Tana de Rabbi Ishmael, mashal adam shezoreh bebet granot, when you're winnowing in the storage house, note, or the place where they would do the winnowing, notel et ha'ochel u'meniach et ha'psolet. Right, you take the good part and you leave off the bad part. So that's why the lashon of zerita is there. It means like when you winnowed it out and you took the best part. Kid Rabbi Avau. De Rabbi Avau, this is like Rabbi Avau, because Rabbi Avau, Rami Ktiv, he says there's a contradiction between these psukim. It says, Vatazreni chel lemilchama, okay, Tazreni from the word of Zoreh. And then it says, Uchtiv ha'el ha'me'azreni chayel. If there in Tehillim, it uses the first one was Shmuel Bet, and this one it uses me'azreni, like le'ezor, to garner up strength. So here, one place it says zoreh from winnowing, and one place it says le'ezor as in strength. So they're saying that's the how does he resolve it? Amar David lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu ribono shel olam, zeritani vezeraztani. You selected the best, you winnowed out the bad stuff and took only the good from the semen to create me, vezeraztani, and you made me strong by doing that. So that's the same thing as Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa said before. Darash Rabbi Avau, my dechtiv, ki mana afar Yaakov u'mispar et rova Yisrael. Okay, again, notice the word rova. Okay, we're going to again connect this to intercourse. So who counted the afar of Yaakov? And he counts the rova Yisrael. So what are they darshan with this rova? Melamed shakadosh baruch hu yoshev sofer et revi'otehen shel Yisrael. He's counting or noticing all the times people are having sexual relations. Sounds a little strange. What's he looking for? Matai tavo tipasha tzadik notzar himenu. He wants to know where's that one seed that's going to cause the tzadik to be born. Because of the following thing, Bil'am became blinded. How do we know? Mi shehu tahor v'kadosh u'mishartav torim u'kadoshim yatzitz b'davar zeh. And Bil'am made fun of this and he said, what? God the great Almighty is looking at people while, you know, had their sexual relations. That seems totally inappropriate. Miyad nismet eino, he immediately became blinded. Dichtiv nu'uma gever shtum ha'ayin. Because shtum ha'ayin, some people understand is stum, meaning covered eye. Some people say shtum ha'ayin. Shtum doesn't mean covered. It means actually revealed. Why is he called shtum ha'ayin? It means revealed. The eye is revealed. Notice it says ayin in singular. That means the other eye wasn't revealed. And that's that pasuk is relating to Bilam. Here's the nu'um of Bilam, who's called the shtum ha'ayin. And it only, the assumption is, if you notice, it only says it in his third speech, he's called that. So the assumption is he wasn't called that in his first speech or his second speech because he only became blinded in between speech number two and speech number three because of the way, because he heard this pasuk and he was complaining about God. You know, in other words, that's when he said at the pasuk we quoted, "Mi mana afar Yaakov u'mispar et rova Yisrael." That's what Bilam says earlier there. So when he says that, he's basically mocking God for getting involved and, you know, for why, saying, "What God? What is he doing? Looking at people while they're having sexual relations?" So therefore, he became blinded from that. Mahainu damar Rabbi Yochanan, and this matches what Rabbi Yochanan says. That God is actually involved in this, that he gets involved in human sexual relations. This is about, you know, kind of how far does hashkacha pratit go? So my dichtiv vayishkav ima balailahu. Now we're moving to Yaakov when he slept with Leah and Yisachar was born. Milamed shakadosh baruch hu siyeh boto maaseh. Okay, they say they darshim from here that God was involved in that maaseh. Why? Because it says vayishkav ima balailahu. Okay, who seems to say, be some reference to something additional here. So they say it must be God was involved here. How was he involved? Shene'emar, Yisachar chamor garem. Okay, Yisachar is called a chamor garem when Yaakov gives the brachot to his sons. What is chamor garem? So how do they darshan this? Chamor garam lo li Yisachar. Okay, the donkey wandered, Yaakov's donkey wandered off towards Leah's tent, and therefore Yaakov ended up next to Leah's tent that night, ended up sleeping with her that night, and Yisachar was born that night. And that's why it's called Chamor Gorem, because the Chamor Garam, the Chamor caused his birth. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yami. Okay, again, what you do with all this, right? I think it's talking about Hashgacha Pratit, and it's talking about maybe also the importance of taking the act of intercourse very seriously and kind of with an important, seeing its import and how each act could be consequential in the world. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yami. Isha mezra tchila yoledet zachar. We've seen this before, right? If the woman gives her zera first, again, what does this mean exactly? She gives her zera first. We're going to see a little bit more closely what the intention here is. Ish mezra tchila yoledet nekeva. If he gives his seed first, then it comes out a girl. Shenemar isha ki tezrei v'yalda zachar. I think once we learn the sugya, we're going to understand a little bit maybe what motivated them to say this. Right? When we first read this, we kind of said, oh, well, they're trying to come up with how is a boy, right? Why is it sometimes a boy, sometimes a girl? But I think that there's actually a different motivation here. Okay, the issue is, we'll read and then we'll see. Tanu Rabbanan, Barishana hayu omrim, Isha mazra tchila yoledet zachar, Ish mazriya tchila yoledet nekeva. Velo pershu chachamim et hadavar. In other words, they didn't explain where they got this from. Ad sheba Rabbi Tzadok upersho. But then Rabbi Tzadok came and he explained it. Where did he get it from? Well, it says, Elu b'nei Leah asher yalda li Yaakov b'padan aram. Notice it says, these are the sons of Leah, which were born to Yaakov in Padan Aram. Ve'et Dina bito, and Dina his daughter. So notice when it talked about the sons, it called them the b'nei Leah. When it talked about the daughter, it said Dina bito, Yaakov's daughter. So therefore they're assuming the daughter was his, he gave the seed first, and the sons were Leah's, she gave the seed first. And again, women don't have seed, so what exactly does it mean? We'll see in a minute. Talaz charim b'nekevot u'nekevot b'zcharim. Okay, so now, v'yuhu b'nei ulam, now we're going to have another pasuk. Yuhu b'nei ulam, this is in Sivrei HaYamim, anashim giborei chayel dorchei keshet, u'marbim banim u'v'nei banim. So now they say how, right, they were marbim banim. They had a lot of sons and a lot of grandchildren. Now, this seems weird because B'chibiyad, as it said, they were these giborei chayil, they had a lot of sons and a lot of grandsons. Well, B'chibiyado shel adam leharbot banim u'b'nei banim, how could it be in their hands to be able to have had so many banim u'b'nei banim? sounded like from the pasuk that they were praising them because, you know, they were able to have a lot of children, but it wasn't like it was their, you know, in their capability. So what do we say? Ela shemitoch shem, and the assumption here is it was specifically sons and not daughters. Okay, so how could they have had control? So what do they say? Ah, ela mitoch shem mashkin atzman babeten. They held back when they were having sex with their wives to kind of let her go first. And then, right, kedeshi yizriyu nishotehen tchila, the woman kind of give their part first, shehu b'nehem zcharim, in order to have male children. And therefore, malelena katuv ki'ilu hem marbim b'neim u'b'nei banim. In other words, therefore, it made it as if it was something they did. They were giborim. Now, what is gibora? Koveshet yitzro. Instead of letting themselves go first, they kind of held back so that their wives could come first, and then they would. V'hainu damar Rav Katina, yechonu la'asot kol banai zcharim. This is where Rav Katina said, I could have made all my sons zcharim. I didn't, but I could have, because I could have held back. He gives a different advice. He says a different way to do it is to have sex two times. Rashi explains, what does that do? In other words, the assumption is then you get the wife kind of in the mood, and then she'll be mazrat the second time, and then you'll be able to, but obviously what happens if she gets pregnant from the first time? That doesn't really help. But, okay, these are ways you can have sons. Okay, again, sons were always considered in the time of the Gemara as a better thing, and we're going to see even more soon why sons were a better thing, at least some of the reasons, or one of the reasons. But we'll get to that, so hold off. But if you, and this was their way, I think the whole thing about Isha Mazra Tchila was a way of kind of giving advice to the husbands to, you know, not view sex as all about their own pleasure, but to hold back a little to allow their wives to have pleasure. And it was a way to kind of have more equality in intercourse. So, and what they do, they use the best weapon they have, which was, oh, well, you want to have sons, so hold back and let your wife have her pleasure before you do. So it's interesting to view it in that way. Okay, this is interesting, right? When is a woman most likely to get pregnant according to this? Well, he believed it was before, right before she gets her period, which is obviously a little tricky because we learned that you're not supposed to have relations when her vested is supposed to come. So it must be a little before that. It's a bit of a conflict here. Shneamar hein ba'avon cholalti. Okay, what do they say, right? Avon is sin. In other words, if you have sexual relations, when she's supposed to get her period, you could potentially have sin. So it's saying, I was created be'avon, meaning close to the time of, that it would have been an avon for my mother and father to have slept together. Rabbi Yochanan amar samuch l'tfila shenemar uvechet yechmatni imi. Okay, and what does chet mean? Chet in this case means cleansing. Okay, chet in the lashon, not of sin, but of cleansing. When I was cleansed, that's when, or with cleansing, that's when my mother got pregnant with me, meaning right after going to the mikvah. Right, so this is right beginning, you know, more like right after the cycle's over or end of the cycle. There's a debate here. My mashmata hai chet literally da kuyehu. How do we know the chet means purification? Dichtiv v'chitei tabayit. And it's a lashon used to clean out the house, right? He purified it. Umetargumina, and the targum there says, v'yidake yat beta. He purified. Yadake is a yizake, right? Is from lashon of zach, pure. V'yibayit ema mehacha. Tachte'eni be'ezov ve'etar. Again, the same thing. Purify me with the ezov. That was the paraduma. They would dip the ezov in ve'etar, and I'll become pure. Ve'od amar Rabbi Yitzchak, another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, amar Rabbi Ami, kevan sheba zachar ba'olam, ba shalom ba'olam. Okay, when a male is born, peace is brought to the world. Shenemar, shechu kar moshel aretz. Give a kar is a gift, to the moshel aretz. Because if you give gifts to the ruler, what will happen? There'll be peace. And what do they darshan from this? Zachar ze kal. The word zachar means this is the gift, the zachar. V'amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Ami, another statement of his. Ba zachar ba'olam, ba ki karo ba'yado. Now, here's the real reason why they really wanted males. I think it's the real reason because money is what controls the, you know, moves a lot of things. If you give birth to a male, you'll have bread. Why? Because the males were the ones who worked in those days. So if you have a male, well, he'll support himself. Dichtiv, zachar zekar. There's a different way of darshaning zachar. Vayichre lahem kera gdola means they made a big meal, a big feast. This was a Melachim Bet. And therefore, zachar is big feast. It's a lot of money. Nikeva eni maklum. But you bring a female, right? She just feeds off of you. She can't make her own money. And it's just going to be a burden on you. Nikeva, how do they darshan nikeva? Nikia ba'a. She comes empty. Va'ada amra mizone, and until she says what her mizonot are, right, until she knows to figure out how to get her own mizonot, lo yavela, they're not given to her. Dichtiv, now they bring a pasuk, this is interesting, nakvas racha alai ve'etena, right, this is with Lavan, he says to Yaakov, tell me what you need, and I'll give it to you. What do you see here, nikeva, that the nikeva needs to get, right, that she doesn't have her own wages until she specifies what she needs, so they darshan it from there. Shalu tamidav et Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, ben Yochai. Mipnei ma amra Torah, she yoledet mevi'ah korban. Okay, now we're going to ask some questions about these, some strange dinim about a yoledet. The one, right, this is a famous one, about why she brings a korban chatat. Seems weird, she didn't do anything wrong. Amar lahen, b'sha'ah she korat leled, when she's having all the labor pains, kofetzet b'nishbat shelo tizakek labala. She swears that she'll never again sleep with her husband. She doesn't want to ever have children again. L'fichach amra Torah tavi korban. That's why she has to bring a chatat, because min hasam she's going to end up sleeping with her husband again. Matkep la Rav Yosef, v'hamzidahi u'b'charatat tal yemelta. What do you mean? That woman was mazed. Korban chatat is for shkagah, for something done by accident. This woman did it on, she knew what she was saying when she did it. Again, one could claim maybe not really. She was in the midst of labor pains, but it was on purpose. And she has to have harata. She has to say, I feel bad that I did that. Ve'od, korban shfua ba'i tuye. Then she should bring a korban shfua for, right, a korban that you would bring for not keeping to your, to what you promised you were going to do, right? You break your shfua. That's not, that's animals. That's not birds. And the one that Yoleta brings is birds. So that doesn't, that can't possibly be the reason why. Okay, but he doesn't give another reason. He just says, I don't understand why. Right? It's one of the big questions. Why it's a chatat? We talked about when we learned about the korbanot chatat, that maybe it was a different type of chatat than other korbanot chatat. Umepneimam ratorah zachar l'shiva unikeva le'arba'a asar. And then the other important question that we've talked about already, but we didn't really give an answer. We said it's always a big question, and I don't think you're going to necessarily be happy with the answer the Gemara gives, but why a zachar 7 and a nekeva, you have to wait 14 days before you can go to the mikvah? Zachar sha'kol smechim bo mitcharetet l'shiva. Nekeva sha'kol atzevim ba mitcharetet l'arba'asar. Okay, the zachar, that everyone's happy. Okay, now again, why would you be happy you have a zachar? So one possible reason is because we've already said they were always much happier to have zacharim, maybe also because he could support himself. Other possible reasons are we said that the labor pains are much less for the zachar. So because of that, she gets over it much quicker, and she gets over her swearing that she was never going to sleep with her husband, and therefore after 7, she's already beyond that, so she can go to the mikvah, whereas the nekeva, shakola tsevimba, they're less happy that they have, right? It's a little hard to swallow, this Gemara. They're upset that they have a girl, right? But maybe, again, maybe it has to do with the pain the mother went through, or maybe the worry about the future. You know, in the world of shiduchim also, right? It's always a problem. Like, they have to marry off the girl is much harder, right? You have a little more control if you're the zachar. Of course, in the modern world, it's quite different. Mitcharetet, so then, the mitcharetet is l'arba'asa. Again, this still has a lot of questions. We don't, these answers, right? The questions are much better than the answers the Gemara gives. Umipnei ma'am ratorah mila lishmona. Why is the Brit Mila after 8 days? Shelo yihu kulam smichim v'avi v'imo atzevim. Okay, so now you see the same thing. It's not that they were atzevim only for the nekeva, but it seems they were also atzevim the first 7 days of the zachar. Why is that? The assumption is because, again, that they're connecting between when the woman can go to the mikvah and be mutar to her husband already. So that's the day that you have the Brit Milah, because you don't want to have the Brit Milah in a time when she's still Tamei'ah, which is interesting nowadays because women never are Tahorim after 7 days because they have to have 7 clean days, and then they aren't anyway by the 8th day. But according to this, that's why the 8th day is the day you do the Brit Milah. And why do they really make that connection? Because it says the Brit Milah is brought up in Parshat Tazriah, where it talks about the days of Tum'ah after the birth, and then it connects there between the 8th day. I've mentioned this before in teaching, but in case you didn't hear it, I'll say it again, which is, I remember when we did a Simchat Bat for one of my daughters, we actually did it the 6th day after she was born, because family was around, and we did it very early, and someone had said to us that based on what it says in the Torah about Isha Ki Tazriah V'Yalda Zachar, that theoretically the Simchat Bat is supposed to be on day number 15. It's, again, after she finishes her days of Tahara, and that really comes from right here. That after that, then the parents can be together already, and that's when you should have a celebration. Tanya, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Mepnei Ma Amra Torah Nida L'Shiva, Mepnei Sheragil Ba V'Katzba, Amra Torah Teit Me'a Shiva Yamim, Kedei Sheh Chaviva Ba'ala Kish'a K'nisata L'Chupa. So Rabbi Meir says in this Braita, why is Anida, why is she considered 7 days Tme'ah? It's so that you can't, shouldn't be that you can always have sex. There should be some time when you can, as they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and that each time it will be, you know, more Chaviva Ba'ala. Again, the Gemara words this all for in the male, that it's for the man to have that feeling toward his wife, but obviously, again, reading this with more modern eyes, it would be in both directions and not just for the man. Just when they wrote the Gemara, they were focused on a lot on the perspective of the men. Shalu tamidav et Rabbi Dosai b'Rabbi Yanai, mipnei ma ish mechazer al isha ve'ein isha mechazeret al ish. Okay, why is it always that the men pursue the women and not that the women pursue the men? Again, in those days, it was clearly the case. Nowadays, again, all these things are called into question. Mashal la'adam sha'avad lo aveda. Right, now what? Remember, the woman was created from, according to one of the accounts of Breshit, from the rib of the man. So he's kind of always been missing that part. So when you lose something, mimachazer al mi, ba'al aveda, machzir al avedato. The lost item doesn't go find its owner usually. It's the owner who's losing his item, go looks for his lost thing. And that's why the man is always looking to get the lost piece back. Back to him. Umipnema ish panav lamata isha panel lamala klapea ish. Now, why, when they have sexual relations, is the man looking down and the woman's looking up? Zemi makom shenivra v'zemi makom shenivret. Okay, we're going to end this parak with a few interesting connections here about having to do with the way man and woman were created. So, Adam was created from Adama, from the ground, and woman was created from man. So, therefore, when having sexual relations, again, connecting between creation and the act that causes other children to be created. So the man is looking down to the place where he was born from, toward the ground, and the female is looking up toward the man from the place where she came from. Another stereotype about men and women. I don't know if any, I've never heard the stereotype necessarily before, at least I don't think so, but maybe one could say, I don't know, I don't believe in the stereotype so much anyway, but what does it say? The man, when he gets very angry, it's very easy to appease him, whereas when a female gets angry, it's much harder to appease her. Again, he was created from the earth, which is very soft and easily moved around, and she's created from bone, which is very hard to move. So therefore, she gets angry, it's hard to get her out of it. Again, another stereotype. She has a beautiful voice. Men don't have as beautiful voices as women. I guess they mean maybe men's voices are deeper and hers is softer. So again, this one at least is flipped, that the positive is the woman. Until now, most of the women's stuff was more negative. So now the ground, if you knock on the ground, it doesn't really make much noise. But if you knock on a bone, it makes noise. So therefore, she came from a bone, so it's a more pleasant voice that it makes. How do we know that women's voices are more beautiful? From the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And we'll end here for today. We'll pick up with a new parak tomorrow.